Okay, it is time now to head out to the Pac-12 Conference, as there is only one unbeaten team. That, of course, is the Oregon Ducks, and we're looking forward to the big showdown in the conference with UCLA at Oregon on Saturday. So in our next segment, we're also going to be taking a look at some of the other action that's going to be going on. You got number 6 Stanford at Oregon State and Utah at USC. But first, we've got to introduce our next guest who covers college football heavily and on a regular basis with Fox Sports Radio New Mexico. And that, of course, is Steve Bornstein. I've known him for many, many years, and it's always great to hear his voice. Hi, Steve. How are you out in Four Corners?
I am excellent. How are you, Alyssa?
Doing great. It's always to catch up and talk some college football. And so we've got a number of games that we want to hit on in the Pac-12. But I know that you are a very proud alum of USC. And my goodness gracious, a lot has changed since the last time we had an opportunity to visit on my show. You had the sudden and abrupt firing of Lane Kiffin after that loss against Arizona State. Just kind of weigh in on that. Did you agree? Did you disagree? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Lane Kiffin was in a no-win position from the outset. From the moment he became the head coach after the tumultuous end of the Pete Carroll era, Lane Kiffin was essentially a guy who was supposed to be the bridge between the end of the Pete Carroll era and the beginning of the no sanctions era. But unfortunately, he didn't make it through that. Some disappointing losses towards the end of last season, including an embarrassing performance in the Sun Bowl down in El Paso, Texas, and then a couple of abysmal performances early this season pretty much sealed the fate there for Lane Kiffin. Now they bring in Ed Orgeron, a longtime assistant, longtime recruiting coordinator for USC, and he's in the interim role right now. The question becomes now, can they at least go 3-3 the rest of the way in here, secure themselves a bowl bid, even if it's just a small bowl game, and then does Ed Orgeron stay on as head coach, or do they go outside and bring in someone new?
Okay, so USC does have that new look as you're talking about with Ed Orgeron. I mean, what has been your observation on how he's handling it and how he's helping these players, not only the players, but helping the program move forward? Because this is a dress rehearsal for him.
It's a clean slate because now they don't have the stain of Lane Kiffin on them anymore. And you know, Ed Orgeron brings in a lot of passion. He brings in a lot of, you know, some new fundamentals. You know, changing of the guard a little bit always helps. But it's still the same problem. They're still way behind as far as scholarships are concerned. They're lacking in numbers as opposed to all the other teams in the Pac-12 conference. They just came down with two more really big injuries as we get ready for another game coming up this weekend. Lamar Dawson, one of their top linebackers, is done for the year. One of their top young tailbacks, Justin Davis, he's out for the rest of the year. So, you know, you still have the numbers issue. And until the scholarship, you know, sanctions go away, until they're able to start replacing these numbers with some higher numbers, they're always going to be suffering from a lack of depth. I mean, when you have 80 players on one sideline and 60 on another, it does play itself out badly.
Well, he has been able to achieve the immediate goals, and that's kind of getting the players, you know, back going and keeping them loose and having fun. I mean, his approach, I certainly like that, and his style is completely different than Lane Kiffin's.
His style's different because he's not so much of an X's and O's guy as much as he is a guy who's based on emotion. Lane Kiffin tried too hard to control the play calling. He tried too hard to be a coach. And it was interesting. I was listening to an interview with Stanford head coach David Shaw the other day, and it was very interesting what he said in that the head coach really coaches about 25% of the time, and that's very true. And I think Lane Kiffin tried too hard to be that 75% guy where he was too hands-on and didn't trust the rest of his staff and didn't have the trust of the rest of his staff. So I think conversely now what we're seeing is Ed Orgeron is turning things back over to his assistants. I think at the end of the day, Orgeron is an assistant coach. I don't think he's got the tenacity for it. I don't think he's got the, you know, the real desire to be a head coach. I think he's okay taking this team to the end of this season, bring in someone new, bring in some fresh new blood, and let this new regime with Pat Hayden at the helm, you know, sort of turn the corner here and move on.
You know, I had former USC quarterback Sean Salisbury on our show a few weeks back, and I asked him this question: who do you believe, who do you feel should fill that slot and lead this program forward?
There's Jack Del Rio, who's the current Broncos defensive coordinator, USC graduate. I think he'd be outstanding. I think he would be outstanding as the head coach there. There's a number of candidates that I think has their names have come up in conversation. I know that, like I said, Jack Del Rio's name has come up here. I know Boise State's Chris Peterson's name's come up. I know 49ers offensive coordinator Greg Roman's name has come up. Even the Trojans' current defensive coordinator, Clancy Pendergast, his name has come up. A name that I keep hearing about for every coaching position, whether it be in, you know, pro or college, wherever, is always John Gruden. That name always comes up.
Why not, though?
Because he's an ESPN analyst, and I don't think he cares anymore. I think that at the end of the day, I don't think he wants to be a head coach. I think he's really, really good, number one, at being at ESPN, and I think, number two, I think he's really comfortable being at ESPN. Believe me, I'd love to get him because I love watching him when he breaks down quarterbacks and that in those pregame shows. I love watching him do that because he's a genius at it. But I think he's really comfortable doing that, and it's just every other rumor comes along. It turns out to be, you know, just another Twitter rumor, and then it goes away.
What would it take to perhaps have Baylor's head coach Art Briles to come on over to USC? Would he do it?
At the risk of offending people, you know, that are listening, I don't think he's qualified.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, he
is. That? I mean, I don't want to offend people, but I don't. Here's the problem. The USC coaching job, and I'm not saying this to sound condescending to other schools, but I'm going to sound condescending to other schools. It's too big a job for a lot of people. It is. There's too many variables. Regardless of where the university is now as far as sanctions are concerned, you need to have a certain, you know, flair for having that kind of background. It's why Jack Del Rio gets it. I think Jack Del Rio, being a graduate, I think he gets it. I don't want Chris Peterson because Chris Peterson, as far as I'm concerned, no matter all the accomplishments that Boise State's had, Boise State is a minor conference. It's in a minor conference. They're a minor school in a minor conference, and he has no business. I mean, look, and you see what happened with other coaches who've left Boise State University and have tried to at the highest Division I levels, and they've been utter failures.
Steve Bortstein is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, Steve Bortstein is with Fox Sports 1340 out there in New Mexico. Art Briles, boy, I got to give some love for him. He is 6-0 right now, 3-0 in the Big 12 Conference, and an offensive juggernaut, to say the least. But let's talk about defensively with USC, because we are seeing they're playing exceptional. Would you agree? This has certainly been their strong suit.
Well, they played exceptional, you know, in a lot of games this season. But again, the numbers thing is going to be a problem now, especially with the injury to Dawson. Lamar Dawson is going to miss the rest of the year. Defensively, I mean, as far as defensive line's concerned, their front seven's very good. They can't cover a cold, though. I mean, honestly, from a defensive backfield standpoint, they're not that good. Had Tommy Rees not gotten injured in that Notre Dame game, I think they would have put up three more touchdowns against Notre Dame last week. And I'm not overwhelmed by this defense, and I think that's another issue where, again, it's just a numbers thing. And I think once USC, you know, is able to start putting those 25 recruits back onto the field, once they can start adding those 15 recruits back onto the field there and back into the practice roster, I think you're going to see a different team. I think it's going to take about 3 or 4 years, you know, for USC to rebuild. But, you know, for the defensive staff they have right now, yeah, they played exceptional this year. And I worry a little bit about this matchup against Utah coming up this weekend, because Utah's got a little bit of an offense there. We know UCLA's got an offense, and that game's not going to be easy coming up down the road here. And so I think it's a tough uphill climb the rest of the way in for USC. And I'll be very happy when these sanctions are over with. And I think it's an absolute shame to just segue for a moment that the University of Southern California, the University, you know, the Ohio State University, and other universities that got beat up by the NCAA sanctions get to sit back and watch the University of Miami skate by the way they did.
Okay, Steve Bortstein is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And while we're doing that, as a courtesy, Steve, tell all the listeners where they can go and check out your work this weekend.
We're on iHeartRadio over at foxsports1340.com. You can log on to foxsports1340.com, click on the listen live button at the top of the homepage. It'll take you right to our iHeartRadio page. I do a show, First Sports in the Morning, from Mountain Time, 7 to 10 a.m., Mondays through Fridays. That's Central Time, 8 to 11. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, I host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, which is also on the iHeartRadio platform, and that's every Saturday and Sunday morning, 8 to 9 Mountain, 9 to 10 Central, and that's also on the iHeartRadio platform and also on Fox Sports AM 1340 and 93.9 FM.
Okay, we're talking Pac-12 football with Steve Borstein from Fox Sports Radio, and so here we just took a quick look in Week 9 as far as with Utah and USC. What about, I think the biggest matchup, of course, is UCLA. They're on the road and at Oregon. What are you expecting this matchup?
I expect what I've seen from Oregon much of this season, a whole lot of offense and a whole lot of scoring. For the Oregon Ducks here, they're going to get one of their top running backs back. They're going to get Thomas back in the lineup this weekend, so I expect Oregon's offense to be very good. I think Marcus Mariota has an opportunity to, you know, show off against on national TV here against a Pac-12 opponent, like, you know, a very high-profile Pac-12 opponent like UCLA. That's had a good season so far, and I think Mariota takes a big step here. And he's going to be, I think by the end of this weekend, people are going to be talking about him as a Heisman Trophy candidate. I never like getting into that discussion this early in the season or even at this juncture of the season, but I think his name is going to start being tossed around a little bit more by the end of this weekend. I think it'll be interesting to see what the comments are going to be after the game is over here, depending on the final score, what the comments are going to be from Nick Aliotti, the defensive coordinator there. I'm sure you heard the comments he made the other day as it relates to head coach Mike Leach over at Washington State University. He was a little upset at Mike Leach for leaving his quarterback and his starting team out there when they were down by 38 points. And I find it kind of ironic that it's someone from the University of Oregon complaining about another team trying to score points when it seems the University of Oregon does nothing but score points.
Steve Borstein is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, and so with their sophomore quarterback, Marcus Mariota, what does he need to do to separate himself? You said that you don't really like to get into the whole Heisman talk here at right. The midpoint of the season, but what does he need to do? I mean, he continues to throw some very impressive stats.
Oh, he's putting up great numbers. I don't think you have to do anything to separate yourself. I just think you continue to do what you do. I think the two quarterbacks that we keep hearing the most about right now, Taj Boyd over at Clemson, and obviously the quarterback from I'm blanking on his name, and I'm sorry about Jameis Winston over at Florida State
yes.
University. I think those guys are just going to battle it out. I don't think you have to do anything different. I don't like the idea that you have to do something outstanding or something really special in order to win the Heisman. I mean, as we know, the Heisman's more of a curse than it is really a blessing. You know, when you move on to the next level, it's almost better not to win the Heisman Trophy as far as your pro prospects are concerned. So, you know, I think he just goes out there and does his thing right now. The University of Oregon, if they continue to do what they're doing, they're on a collision course with a national championship national championship game, possibly against Alabama. That was the game that a lot of us wanted to see last year.
And, true,
you know,
yes.
If things go the way they're going right now, we may see it this year.
Okay, the college football season is moving right along. We're zeroing in on the Pac-12 conference. We've been bouncing around a bit, but we do want you also to weigh in on Stanford at Oregon State. How do you see this matchup playing out?
You know, I think Stanford now that they got that loss out of the way, I think Stanford's got a chip on their shoulder a little bit right now, so I think they're going to take it. I think they're going to continue to do what they do very well right now. So I think Stanford does, you know, a lot of the ground and pound thing that they do. They move the ball effectively. Stanford does what they do. I don't see any reason for that to change right now. I think Stanford wins, you know, pretty comfortably here, actually. So I don't expect to see much different from Stanford. I think the interesting game, I think the interesting game is Arizona on the road at Colorado. I think Colorado's getting a little bit better right now.
Really?
It's going to
okay.
be a high-scoring game, I think. I think Arizona wins, but I don't imagine that being a blowout. I think that's going to be a little bit better of a football game. Colorado's a tough place to play in Colorado. You know, you're coming up, it's the whole sea level to, you know, mile high thing. So I think that's actually going to be a better game.
Steve, we've only got time for about one more question. I do, since we are talking about the Pac-12 conference, so how do you see this measuring up with the SEC? Because everybody's always, you know, jockeying for position, who and what is the strongest football conference. So how do you see, it seems like the Pac-12 has a lot more parity. Are they there at the SEC level yet?
No, but they're close. And they're a lot closer than people think, I think. I'm guessing right now. You've got UCLA, you've got Oregon State, you've got Stanford, you've got Oregon, obviously, and they're all top 15 schools right now. And I think a lot of people spend too much time, you know, oh, well, the SEC has this, the SEC has that. I, you know, when I look at strength of conferences, I don't look at the top teams. I look at the bottom teams. I look at the teams at the bottom of the barrel here. And, you know, the four teams that are the worst, I think it was last week in the SEC, were all big underdogs. And they all turned out to basically not only cover the spread in those games, for those of us who are, you know, gamblers, I apologize for those of you who are not, but for those of us who follow that sort of thing, not only did they cover, some of them won. And I think that's where the strength of conference thing still solely belongs to the SEC. Much as I hate to say that, I still think the SEC's got the stronger conference right now. And I think I don't even think it's close, you know, between the rest of the college football world.
Well, it certainly has changed in many, many ways. I mean, the Pac-12 is becoming a power conference in college football. Steve, we sincerely appreciate you dropping by Yahoo Sports Radio, and I promise we will catch up again real soon. Perhaps we'll talk Heisman in December, okay?
Looking forward to it.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.